Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the Good News Show on this Monday, May 5th. It is Cinco de Mayo, and I don't know if that means anything to you other than, May 5th, but I want to talk a little bit about Cinco de Mayo because I did a little digging and research about what this is all about and whether it is like as big of a deal in Mexico as it is in America. And surprisingly, it's not. It's actually, from what I read on Wikipedia, it's actually celebrated more in America than it is in Mexico, even though it has to do with the Mexican event. But we'll talk about that. Also, the Papal Conclave. We're 2 days away from the conclave beginning. And I'm going to ask Cecil, and Cecil doesn't know I'm going to ask her this, are you following it? There's always this sense of curiosity. Do you think that's wrong to be overly curious about it? Or should we just let, the cardinals and the Holy Spirit work this out, and then we be happy with their choice? But I'll tell you one interesting little story about the Papal Conclave that I'll share here in just a moment. And then before we get to our first guest, I want to encourage everybody listening right now to get online and get their tickets for the July 19th 25th anniversary celebration, because we received some information from our VP Sean Rice just a couple of days ago about how tickets are going. And they, as we've been talking about so much, they are going fast and they're free, but there will be a time when there will be, wailing and gnashing of teeth outside the doors, because you're going to go online and say, oh, I'm finally going to register. And it's going to say, sorry, it's filled up. I mean, I don't say that in a threatening way. It's just the truth. It is going to happen probably sooner than you think, because we're still a couple of months away from this event. All right. And that's going to be just the first 10 minutes of this show. And then I am so delighted to have a few people, three guests in studio. One I think I'll be meeting for the first time, but our first guest is going to be Anand Bhimarasetty. He is the founder of Project Finding Calcutta. And they are just doing really good work in bringing the work of St. Mother Teresa right here to North Texas and some other areas as well. The mission is to quench the thirst of Jesus Christ by mobilizing volunteers into charitable works locally. They had a really cool event on Saturday that I didn't get to participate in, but I want to talk about that. And Anand's just things are just really on fire in a good way, and he's got a lot of updates about how things are going with his efforts. And then in the second half of the show, I am going to welcome in studio to talk to me Darren Smith and Vicente Cordero. And they'll be talking about the Great Men Program, which is modeled after St. Joseph, a multi-parish men's group open to all for fellowship and speaker-led conversations. They've got an event coming up on the 21st of this month with none other than Jeff Schaffelbein. And his talk is going to be called Fear, Formation, and Fortitude. And we're also going to talk to Darren and Vicente about the Authentic Leadership Foundation, in particular about some small peer groups that they have put together for those who want to integrate their faith and work and make an impact in the community. Does anybody not want to do that? I mean, come on, we all want to make an impact in the community, right? So great show. I'm really excited about it. So let's talk about these first topics before we get to Anand. Cinco de Mayo. You know, I got to admit, I asked two people this morning about Cinco de Mayo. The first one was Cecil. And I just said, Cecil, what do you know about Cinco de Mayo? And then, not to say that Cecil wasn't my first go-to, but I asked Martin Arizmendi. He's our executive director on the Spanish side, because, Martin has a Mexican heritage. And I thought maybe I should get Martin's thoughts as well. And he had a lot of thoughts on it. So, Cecil, Cinco de Mayo. Do you celebrate it? Does it mean anything to you? What's your thoughts on it?
I mean, I've sometimes had tacos around that time. I don't necessarily celebrate it. When I was in Mexico a few years ago, we went to Puebla, which is where a lot of the battles for Cinco de Mayo took place.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually where it ended, and when they broke free from the French. I believe it was the French that they were trying to get the back from.
And now, did you know all this, or did you do research this morning?
I did. This is just what I vaguely remember.
Okay,
now.
So that's good. That's all true. Yeah.
So I just remember being on site and our tour guide kind of said, oh yes, and this is like why we there's Cinco de Mayo. And I was like, cool. Okay. That's about all I know.
That's a whole lot more than I know. And probably this time next year, I'll forget everything I'm telling you right now. But it was the victory over the Second French Empire, 1862, the Battle of Puebla, as you mentioned. As Martine explained to me, they were a lot of peasants and working people, about 80,000 of them, pushed back a much bigger fleet of the French who had much more artillery and weapons and all that. And so they pushed them back. It was General Ignacio Zaragoza. But anyways, they ended up losing that site eventually. And there's a lot of other subplots. Like this was the time of like Napoleon,
right?
And American intervention in Mexico, and so it's pretty cool. But they do say that it's celebrated more in America than
of
it is in
it
Mexico.
Is.
And shocker, it's been promoted by companies that make Mexican beer, wine, and tequila.
Okay,
so there might be a financial interest.
If you
in
do go
here.
To Puebla one point in time, you can see a lot of bullet holes still in the buildings there, the older buildings.
Yeah.
And so it is very fascinating to see.
Yeah. So it's a real thing.
Yes.
You know, and, I got to admit, last weekend, I asked my wife, I said, hey, do you want to go out and get a margarita on Monday? Any excuse for a margarita? I said, it's Cinco
we'll
de Mayo. And she's like, no, let's go get a coffee.
So Mexican coffee.
Go get a Mexican coffee. All right. So the papal conclave, Cicel, I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer in this, but I mean, do you have curiosity? What is your kind of general disposition about what's going to happen this week?
I'm definitely curious. I mean, it's the first papal conclave that I will have been Catholic for, so it's a little bit fascinating because I've never, gotten to witness it. So I'm excited about that. I think conclaves in general are on my mind because with my parish's young adult group, a lot of them have had questions. So we're doing actually a formation night this Thursday that I will be planning. So I will be learning a lot about conclaves in general to talk to them. I'm generally curious, but I'm not sitting here going, oh, I think it's going to be this person or, this cardinal's going to be chosen. It's more like I'm excited to see what happens and what, the Holy Spirit does.
Right, yeah. I think the natural curiosity is a good thing because we love our faith and, who the Pope is very important, needless
sure.
to say. So I told you I was going to give you one little story. And over the weekend, I was on YouTube and it was definitely like clickbait kind of stuff. But this guy had, and I don't even know who it was, but he had this YouTube video. It had about a half a million views. So I figured it must be something rather legit. And he said, I've done all the research and I've been researching papal conclaves for, decades. And I'm going to tell you who I think the next pope's going to be. So I took the bait and it was like a 20-minute video, but I clicked and then I zipped forward to like the 18-minute mark because I didn't want to watch all the pre-stuff. I just wanted to see who he had picked. But he had a system and, these are the ones that our people are talking about. And then he narrowed it down to five and he said that kind of on a spectrum of more, progressive to conservative. And he said, I'm going to eliminate the two ends because they normally don't pick extremes. And so then he was down to like two or three. And then he said, I'm going to eliminate, Cardinal Parolin. And then he was down to two. And it was interesting. And so then finally he says, okay, this is the guy that I think is going to be the Pope. And I had never heard of him. And this is,
we
can talk about
that.
This next Monday in case this guy was right.
But That'd be so funny.
Listen to this guy's name, Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa.
Oh, I have heard of him. And do you know why? It's because all of my young adults in my group, they have been looking at the Cardinals and they're like, we want him because he's got a great name. They know nothing else about him except for that they want Cardinal Pizzaballa.
I know,
the
fact that he's got
gonna
pizza.
Be saving that, not that he's going to be having that name anymore, but like, it's going to be very, so I have actually heard of him. I could not tell you where he is, where he's from. I could not tell you anything.
You can probably guess with the name pizza.
I could tell you where,
right?
Either that
or New York City.
But I don't know for sure,
Right, right. So he's 60 years old.
Okay,
and so they say if this guy, and this is, kind of personal for me, because if this guy became Pope, this may be the last Pope I see. I mean, because you can be Pope when you're 60 for, 20, 25 years, like John Paul II was. So anyways, again, ultimately, it's it's up to the Holy Spirit and the cardinals, and so just keep them in prayer. But I just thought I'd share that with you. And finally, before we get to Anand, I want to, as I mentioned a moment ago, really encourage you, if you want to come to this event on Saturday, July 19th, it's a 25th anniversary celebration for the GRN. Keeping the Promise is the theme, and Father Chris Alar and Deacon Harrowbrook Sivers and Matt Marr concert, Jerry and Debbie and Adam, and I get to MC the first half of it, which I think is kind of funny because it's going to look like I got fired halfway through. You know,
you should play that up with Wyatt, who's taking over from you. He should make it like Dave Palmer's no longer here. He's been booted. I think that'd be very funny.
Yeah, so I'll probably make a joke about that at the event itself. So we're expecting about 1,800 people, and according to Sean Rice, who's the head of our committee, like 1,400 people have already registered, and there's going to be, you know, staff and committee members and the speakers and that kind of stuff. So really, we're down to 300 or 400 seats. And so I just couldn't be more adamant in saying, if you want to go, do not delay and get on to grnonline.com/anniversary and get your tickets. I think you can reserve up to 10. And then I think later this month, there's going to be an email going out to all the people who registered saying, okay, you're still coming? Are you still bringing as many people as you thought? And then that might release some of the tickets. But come July 19th, man, this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a great event. It's also awesome. It's just like in the middle of the summer, we get to have this big celebration.
Yeah.
And it's here in Plano that we get to do it.
Yeah. If anybody wants to be a sponsor of the event, we're still looking for about $20,000 in sponsorship. And so just throwing that out there because you never know who's listening. You can email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com, if you're interested. All right, let us move on to our first guest. And this is not only a guest, but somebody I consider a friend, along with his wife, Lindsay, and their beautiful family. We worship together at St. Mary the Virgin Parish. His name is none other. He's got the coolest name in the world, Anand Bhimarasetty. Yeah, maybe even cooler than Pizza Bala. I don't know.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
And he is the founder of Project Finding Calcutta. You can find them online, projectfindingcalcutta.com. And I love just kind of watching this grow and really see from the beginning, almost at the beginning, of just seeing how this whole thing came about. So for those who are new to Project Finding Calcutta and may not have heard our other interviews, you want to just give a little summary of what the mission is?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for inviting me today. And yes, our mission is to quench Jesus' thirst. And we do that by engaging volunteers to accompany the poor. We connect with the poor where they are. And one big thing I noticed when we started this is a lot of people have the heart to serve. They just don't know where to begin. Mm. So we thought, how about we remove the obstacles that people have when it comes to serving the poor, which is where do we do it, how do we do it, when do we do it? So we figured, let's just bring everyone on a Saturday morning and tell them where they can go and connect with the poor on the streets, the homeless, or the poor that are lonely at nursing homes. And yeah, more people started showing up, and now we do it every Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And you're connected to Mother Teresa's sister, the Sisters of Charity. That's one of the places that people can go. I know my family and I have been there before. So is that a pretty tight bond that you have with the sisters?
Absolutely. It makes it easy to connect. Every church, every convent that the Missionaries of Charity sisters are at, in their chapel, you'll see the crucifix and the words, "I thirst." Mother Teresa built this ministry really reflecting so much on Jesus' last seven words. So the place here in Dallas, we go there every Saturday. So we send some of our volunteers there along with other locations based on people's interests. That's the other thing. Like a lot of volunteers that come, some are uncomfortable to be on the streets encountering the homeless, because some could be influenced. There is fear. It takes courage to do it. And same thing talking to the elderly at nursing homes. Now, they're not violent or anything, but you may walk into a room and the person may not know how to speak well anymore or speaks a different language. So it takes a lot of courage there.
It is it is uncomfortable to see somebody that kind of takes us out of our comfort zone. It is interesting. And I love how you tie that into what I said. You know, Jeff Scheffelbein's talk for the Great Men's Program is going to be Fear, Formation, and Fortitude, because I was more thinking about you stepping out. I think you left a job and you started this. You know, there's always a lot of risk, but you said, no, it's not so much me. It's the people that, you know, help with Project Finding Calcutta. And it's a great connection as well. I went to the website, projectfindingcalcutta.com, and you have on there a little ticker thing, and it says 918 volunteers, 8,527 service hours. And then, I'm sorry. And then 21,428 something. Yeah. Well, what are those numbers?
Yeah, so we've had, since we started 5 years ago, we've had, at this point, about 9,000 volunteer instances. So there could be some people that repeated, naturally.
Yeah.
So many people are coming, and a lot of them, almost every week we have at least half of them are there for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful that they want to encounter Christ and the poor.
And you get a lot of young people out, don't you? Well, the last time my family and I went, we met at UD. And of course, UD is naturally probably going to attract young people because people on campus. But it was a lot of people like in the college age and even teenagers. And this seems to be something that the young people have a thirst for, is to get out there and do something to help people.
Yeah, we deliberately choose where we meet. We could easily meet downtown where we see a lot of homeless, or we could meet in front of a nursing home where we serve the poor or the lonely at nursing homes. But we don't. We meet at a church or a school. Our intention is so that we invite people from that area to show up very easily. And once they're there, we begin with prayer, and then we go out to serve. And that one time you saw so many young people at UD is, well, a lot of students and young adults come. And sometimes we go to different parishes, like whether we are at St. Gabriel in McKinney is one example. Usually mostly families show up there. Mm-hmm. And we are also in Fort Worth Diocese. When we go to CIS, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and Keller, lots of families. If we meet at Mater Dei, a lot of young adults. It really changes from location to location, but we have young adults as well as families serving. A lot of families with little children, and it's a hit when you take little children.
Yeah.
They disarm the homeless, even the drunk ones at times. They are very gentle and, you know. Similarly, the elderly absolutely love the little ones when we take them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet they do. Take us back. You said this has been going on for about 5 years. So I imagine 6 or 7 years ago, this idea was planted in your head. And I know we've talked many times about your personal encounter with Mother Teresa in India when you were much younger. But what was that kind of tipping point moment when you said, for whatever reason, okay, I'm going to do this? Well, take us back to that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I absolutely loved my encounter with Mother Teresa. It was special, very brief, but very special. But my real tipping point, I think, was actually before I joined Focus back in 2005. I became a Focus missionary. That time, I left my IT career and became a missionary. A lot of my friends to this day and relatives to this day laugh about, like, well, missionaries come from the West to the East. What do you mean? You went to the West and now you're a missionary there. So, you know, that gives me a chance to talk about spiritual poverty and emotional poverty that we have here, which is more than the material poverty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was a letting go IT career was not that hard because I was very excited about being very involved with my faith. That was very exciting. Financially, there was this fear, of course, and then that was doubled or tripled later when I got married and have children now and starting a nonprofit completely on my own. There was this financial fear, but the joy of knowing the good that it will do. I was very fearless. In fact, like right now, we are launching this Let Us Begin campaign I have no idea how we're going to do this, but I know God's going to provide. We're going to need about $50,000 for this summer. And that's mainly because we have some missionaries coming and spending whole summer. We are providing accommodation for them and taking them on a mission trip to Calcutta, India. And the best part is they're going to be just serving the poor, praying every day, morning and evening, mass and adoration as bookends. And in the middle, they serve the poor. There'll be some formation. It's a beautiful program we are launching. And our even in a way, the slogan is "Let us begin." How is it gonna play out in the long run? I don't know. It's
but that's
God's
the exciting
mission.
Part, right? Because
yeah.
You see how God provides, right? And He has up to this point. Are you still looking for missionaries, or do you have all the ones that are going to participate this summer?
We have a few. They're actually coming in from different parts of the country, but we do have room for a couple of more. It could be somebody from here in Dallas, mm-hmm. or it could be somebody from anywhere in the country. But we are starting on June 1st. June 2nd, I believe, is Monday. We're starting in less than a month, and it's going to go for 7 weeks. We provide accommodation, meals, and take them on a mission trip to India. But in between, in addition to service, we are building this community, and we will see where God leads them. But yes, we can take a couple of
more. Do they raise any of their own money, or is it all provided?
We are providing is what I promised,
okay.
And now God will provide it to me how to pay for all of that.
Yeah. Anand Bhimrasetty is my guest, founder of Project Finding Calcutta. You can find out all about their good work, projectfindingcalcutta.com, projectfindingcalcutta.com. It came to my attention just at the end of last week, and I was so bummed that I didn't know about this, is that you had something that happened just 2 days ago, which was called a first annual charity 5K run and 2K walk, which obviously is in the past, but I'm sure this is going to become an annual, if not more than annual event. But tell us about this and how did it go?
Yeah, we just did it on Saturday. It was such a fun thing, and it really came about maybe a month ago. We had some high school interns. They just wrapped up with us, and we were chatting, and we were thinking about what fun thing we could do, and this is one of the ideas. It'll be nice to do a 5K. And I said, well, we have 1 month. What can we do? And we decided to deliberately keep it small, smaller than 100 people, because I heard the city requires you to get a permit if you have 100 or more.
So we said,
we will take only 99 people, and we had a good group, not all 99, but we had a decent-sized group that signed up, and we really wanted to make it a charity run or a charity walk. And a lot of times I've seen people do this. They call it a charity run, but it is a running race.
Yeah.
And we wanted to literally incorporate charity into the run. So the way we designed this is we have a starting point, ending point. We began at City Hall, and then we ended at the Cathedral. And we said, watch your own time, but the best part is every time you see a homeless person, you stop, you pray with them, you talk to them, you put your timer on pause when you do this.
Okay.
But it's really encountering Christ on your run. Run so as to
that's
win.
That's a great idea.
Stop for Christ.
Yeah. And plus, I mean, this they may sound bad, but you get breaks
right.
from the running, but you're not only breaking for a breather, but you're also breaking to do something. And now, because this is downtown, so people are also having to stop for, I guess, lights and waiting for the, you know.
Yeah.
How did it turn out, or did you crown a winner, or how did you?
Yeah, we had winners. We had winners from runners. We had winners from walkers, and we had winners. We also kind of came up with kind of like a bingo card.
Yeah.
We gave like 9 different challenges that they could do. Like one of them is with a chalk, you play tic tac toe or hopscotch or share your story or listen to their story, figure out the meaning of their name, or one of those things is like have a quick Bible study. Pick a story that you like from Bible and dive into it in 5 minutes. So they all were checking off, doing different things with the homeless on the streets. And everyone that did it, they absolutely loved it. I thought there will be more runners and fewer walkers just because of the demographic. But interestingly, more people wanted to walk and fewer people ran, is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone stopped, and more than half of them have never done this before, encounter the homeless on the streets.
Yeah.
For them, it's a great opportunity. We gave them T-shirts, and we gave them, gave all our participants backpacks, or sorry, I should say cinch bags. We filled them with goodies to hand out to the poor. We gave rosaries. They prayed. One person came and asked for a Bible, and it was a very meaningful encounter for everyone that participated.
Yeah. So you'll be doing it again next year, next summer?
We would love to. Yeah. I think next time we will actually do it during Lent.
Yeah.
May, we just realized a lot of students are doing, they have finals and everything. So we will do it in Lent because it really fits with people wanting to do some service. And it's also something enjoyable outdoors. It's not too hot.
Oh, gosh. The weekend was just absolutely beautiful.
Oh,
I mean,
this
weather is like so perfect. I always tell people, remember this weather, because a couple months from now, we're all going to be sweltering and complaining about how hot it is. But the weather is nice for most of the year here in North Texas. Anand Bhimrasetty is my guest, founder of Project Finding Calcutta. ProjectFindingCalcutta.com. I want to go back before we end and allow you to make one more appeal for this Let Us Begin campaign, because it sounds like a really exciting things are going to be happening for you this summer. I wanted to ask you, though, about the high school kind of mission event, because I remember last summer, I believe it was the first time you did this, and you were shocked by how many kids participated, but how much they loved it, and they asked for some extra time, and it was just like a big, big success. So I presume you're doing that again this summer, and can you tell us the dates and any details about that?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, thank you for reminding me. I wanted to share, and we still have room to take more kids into our summer camp. This whole initiative, like this summer, everything we are doing, we are keeping Let Us Begin as our theme, because Mother Teresa said, yesterday is gone, tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin. She's saying, like, let us begin being charitable. Let us begin being prayerful. Let us just love, like, start the mission of love. And we basically started the campaign with the run on Saturday. Next big thing we're going to do is having these missionaries come join us in Dallas. We are very excited about that. Right now, it's all young women that signed up. We have a couple of young men that are still going through interview process. We'll see how many we will end up having. But with them, this is really going with Jesus' fishing analogy. We are trying to teach them. We will teach them how to fish, how to bring people closer to Christ by encountering them on the streets or at nursing homes. And first 3 weeks, we're going to give them formation for these missionaries and really train them in how to love and encounter Christ. And on the fourth week, which is when we are doing the summer camp, where these missionaries actually will train the young people that we did.
So there's going to be an overlap.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so these missionaries will run the summer camp. Of course, some of us will be there to guide them and look over the details. Last year, it was a beautiful encounter. All the kids really loved it. On day one, they were a little bit, you know, disinterested. But slowly they really got into it. On the last day, they were bringing their families and served together. They were so proud of what they've learned and shared with their families. At the end, I'll finish with this. This year, having these young missionaries learn about the mission and share that mission with the students, it's like you're not only learning how to fish, but you're teaching others how to fish. And that's what we're going after. So let us begin, you know.
You mentioned about how you do an interview process with the prospective missionaries. What are you looking for? Or how do you know it's the right person for something like this?
Yeah, 18 plus with a heart for neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we want them to be Catholic because we fill the day with formation, Catholic formation and prayer. Anybody that's zealous to love the Lord and the poor will take him. And it'll be good teamwork. And the summer camp is one of the perks that they get to lead. They're running a summer camp. Mm-hmm. And then right after the summer camp, they're going to pack up and go to India. And
yeah.
we work with the sisters there. The dates for the summer camp I failed to mention earlier are June 24th till 28th. So that's starting on Tuesday, finishing on Saturday. And Saturday is going to be with families. But the remaining 4 days are the kids will show up. Anyone that's in middle school and high school are welcome to join the summer camp.
Is registration already open for that?
It is already open. You can find the information on our website, projectfindingcalcutta.com.
And of course, the bread and butter of Project Finding Calcutta are the Saturday volunteer days, and those continue. And I remember you told me one time, every single Saturday without exception, you're doing this. Of course, this past Saturday, you adapted it a little bit for the 5K run. But this Saturday and every Saturday going forward for the next few months, people can just go and show up and do a project with either alone or with their family, right?
Absolutely. 2001, September 5th, on Mother Teresa's feast day. Around that time, I made the announcement to the group, actually very spontaneous, in the middle of a talk. I just said, like, you know what, guys? We've been doing it every other week. I think we should do it every week. Why not? And since then, God has provided. Every single Saturday, there has been volunteers, and we do serve. 9 or 9:30, we meet. Our website will tell you where we meet and what we do. And there was one time I tried to cancel it, but the sisters from Dallas called me and said, like, hey, Anand, a couple of people showed up, even though there is flooding everywhere in Dallas. And they showed up. So we ended making sure that
still
there was a service opportunity.
Happened. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And congrats on all the great work. I know it sounds like it just keeps growing and growing. And I do want to invite people to respond in whatever way you feel, whether it's financial contributions for this Let It Begin. Is that the right name? Yeah.
Let Us Begin
campaign. I like the history of that this is something that Mother Teresa actually would say. ProjectFindingCalcutta.com, whether you want to be a missionary, if you have teenagers or middle school kids who want to go to this mission week, June 24th through 28th, or he says he's still hiring a couple of missionaries for this amazing 7 weeks of training, working this for the teens and going to India. Oh, wow. How exciting. Anand, thanks so much. Appreciate you being here, and may God continue to bless your efforts.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
ProjectFindingCalcutta.com. This is the Good News Show. We're halfway through, and we're going to take a break right now and come back, as I mentioned, talking about another really cool, it's not a startup. This is Darren Smith has been doing this for quite some time. We're going to talk about the Great Men Program and the event that they have coming up later on this month, and also the other part of his ministry is called the Authentic Leadership Foundation, and some of the small peer groups that they are putting together. So we'll take a break and come back right after this.
Vera Aqua Vera Vita's mission is to bring sustainable, clean water solutions to developing countries. They are hosting their 7th annual Speakeasy Gala on Saturday, May 17th at the St. Paul Catholic Church Parish Center in Richardson from 5 to 10 p.m. Enjoy a night of fine dining, dancing, a live jazz concert, plus a chance to win some great prizes, all while supporting their clean water initiatives in Peru. For more information about Vera Aqua Vera Vita or to get your Speakeasy Gala tickets, visit givecleanwater.org. That's givecleanwater.org.
The Catholic Brothers for Christ are sponsors of the Guadalupe Radio Network. They are a group of men of various ages and places in life who are deeply committed to having a relationship with Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel through the witness of lively brotherhood rooted in prayer, the sacraments, mentorship, and service. To learn more about Catholic Brothers for Christ, visit CatholicBrothersForChrist.com. That's CatholicBrothersForChrist.com.
Today's culture has mystified masculinity, where emotions are a sign of weakness. All men, 18 and older, are invited to reclaim their identity as true men following Christ. The Men in Front Men's Summit will take place on Friday, June 27th through Saturday, June 28th at St. Martin de Porres Catholic Church in Prosper. The summit includes fellowship, beer, and brisket on Friday evening. Begins Saturday with Mass and dynamic talks by Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Register now at stmartindeporresmenssummit.org.
Guadalupe Radio Network welcomes new sponsor, St. Candles. Founded by music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the St. Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. St. Raphael for healing, St. Philomena for children, St. Anthony of Padua, and many more as well. To see what St. Candles are available, visit stcandles.com.
The Guadalupe Radio Network has kept the promise for 25 years. In the year 2000, we promised to use our network to promote holy vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Since then, we've consistently encouraged men and women to be open to God's call to holy vocations in service to the church. The Guadalupe Radio Network's Keeping the Promise 25th Anniversary Celebration will be Saturday, July 19th at the Plano Event Center in North Texas.
Hi, my name is Gabriel Garrison. I'm currently studying at the University of Dallas, and I'm a former student of Homeschool Connections, a Catholic online provider of live and recorded classes for grade school, middle school, and high school students. At Homeschool Connections, your student can learn from teachers with high levels of experience in their fields. You can learn more by visiting homeschoolconnections.com, a sponsor of the GRN. That's homeschoolconnections.com.
We are back. This is the Good News Show. It is May 5th, 2025, Cinco de Mayo. Talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the program. And this is a show where we come on once a week for an hour live and just talk about some of the really amazing, great things that are happening in North Texas and the local Catholic world. And in just a moment, I'm going to reintroduce you to Darren Smith and also Vicente Cordero to talk about the Great Men Program and also the Authentic Leadership Foundation. I have had folks from the Authentic Leadership Foundation in studio before. Kieran Quinn works for them, and Darren is kind of it's something that he started up along with this Great Men Program. And just talk about what's the newest news from them. I will tell you that they have an event coming up a couple of weeks from Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday, May 21st, over at the, what is the location? It is the Three Nations Brewery in Carrollton. And this is the Great Men Program event beginning at 7 o'clock, Three Nations Brewing. And the speaker is going to be Jeff Scheffelbein. Who is no stranger to Catholic Radio. He's also one of the hosts of the Beatitudes. And so in just a moment, we'll have Darren and Vicente talking about that. But as we await them, Cecil, I kind of when I knew that Darren was coming in and also Anan, I think about these upstarts and, you know, as I was talking to Anan about that tipping point moment of knowing that, yes, God is calling me to do this and starting Project Finding Calcutta. And I was just thinking about in the 20 years or so that I have been in Catholic radio, some of the groups that I have been blessed to kind of see form and then grow. And I know maybe you have some in mind. The one that comes to my mind right off the bat is Young Catholic Professionals.
Right, yeah.
Because I do remember when Jen Baugh first started this, and I don't know how early on. I think it was very early when she had that first chapter in Dallas, and she came in, and she had not, you know, I don't think even met Cody or gotten married or had kids. It was, you know, it was all very new, but I'd love to hear that interview. I'm sure we have it somewhere in the archives. So that's one that comes to mind. And of course, YCP has just grown exponentially. Early on in my years of Catholic radio, I remember there was a guy and he had started the Catholic Chamber of Commerce. And his name was Tony LaBarbera. And I just remember that. I don't know if that group still exists or not or what, but it was an upstart. But I just thought that was the most interesting thing, the Catholic Chamber of Commerce. I remember when the Troops of St. George was founded. Mm-hmm. That was actually Taylor Marshall that started the Troops of St. George. I remember he came in and we did an interview about that. This was around the time that the Boy Scouts were starting to get a little bit wonky in some of their beliefs, but the Troops of St. George kind of filled a void that I think the Boy Scouts had somewhat abandoned. Anything else come to mind?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I personally have been, but I know, I mean, you were around, you were at the table when I know Claritas was something that came about as well. I just love seeing people just following, you know, God, you know, the Holy Spirit putting something on their heart to like do something, because it's very scary, I think, to start something new, you know? And most of us are not going to take that opportunity. We're not going to take it. It seems like too much of a risk. And how many more beautiful organizations do you think we might have if everyone was, you know, willing to do those risks?
Oh, yeah, I know. And that's why when I thought about having Darren on and also Anand, I wanted to ask him about that, especially in light of Jeff's talk called Fear, Formation, and Fortitude. And it's interesting because when I was at the YCP conference very briefly last Friday with Eustace, or was that a couple Fridays ago?
A couple Fridays ago,
Jeff was giving a talk to the leaders of the YCP, I think the chapter leaders from across the country. And I poked my head. I was kind of like sneaking in the back and I was listening to him. And he was talking about that, this topic about fear. And I just remember, because I only listened to about a minute of his talk, and Jeff's a really good speaker. And I just remember him saying the fear, you know, the fear is never going to go away. You know, you're never going to get to a point where it's like, you know what, I feel 100% confident about this and there's absolutely no obstacles in my way. And so you just kind of have to, I'm paraphrasing what he said, is just, you have to just work in the arena of having some of that fear of doing new things. So let's get on to our next topic of conversation. As I mentioned, Darren Smith is with me. He is the founder of the Great Men Program, which you can find online at thegreatmenprogram.com and also authenticleadershipfoundation.org. We're going to talk about both of these. And the Great Men and Walking the Path of Saint Joseph. Great Men is a multi-parish men's group open for all for fellowship and speaker-led conversations on modeling Saint Joseph as a Christian spouse, father, friend, and co-worker. Darren Smith, how you doing? Nice to see you.
Howdy. Thanks. Thank you, and happy to be here.
Yeah, good to see you. So you've got this event coming up with Jeff Schuffelbein, Fear, Formation, and Fortitude over the Three Nations Brewing in Carrollton. These events have been going on for a number of years now, haven't they?
2019, and even COVID could not stop us. It can only somewhat contain us until we found technology, and everybody participates all the time, either live or online.
And how often do you do these?
8 times a year. We make it family friendly. These start after dinner, about 7:30 at Three Nations Brewing. And then we hold them except in the summer and except at holiday time around Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And what do you look for in the speakers? Because you've had some great speakers. I remember my friend John Heinen was one of your speakers. Now you got Schuffelbein. Anand was telling me, I just talked to Anand. He said he was a speaker one time. So what's that X factor you're looking for?
Well, I really think it's, I wish I could say, the idea is obviously fellowship. It's to create a space 8 times a year to have conversations men don't have. And the speaker is there to help spark that meaningful conversation, ask some questions. And at the end of the day, it's how do I get better in one of my vocations? We've all got 5 or 6. You know, you've got friend, which is, I believe that's you and I, if I can be so bold. You've got husband, you've got dad, you've got community member, obviously co-worker, right? And that's really the idea.
And, you know, I saw under your stamp of your on your emails, it says, let's see, programs for principal decision-making and team communication improvement to free up time to make a collective impact. And then you have as yourself, learner, achiever, self-assurance, focus, significance. I'm curious just about your path, because I wanted to make that a theme of you were working, what I'd say, in a regular job. What exactly, at what point in your career or your vocation did you say, you know what, I'm going to take a little turn here. I'm going to do something more ministry-based, because you didn't just start one group. You started several. Can you kind of take us back to the genesis of this process?
Absolutely. I don't know how far back you want to go, but I will tell you that I'm a product of Catholic schools all the way through college. That includes Texas A&M, the largest Catholic school in the country.
That's right.
happy to say. And I have to tell you, I wasn't even good back then, let alone great. I would think in those different vocations, because God was really not a significant part of my life. I thought he was, but I don't think there would have been enough evidence behaviorally if you would have watched me to convict me of being Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Now you and I, we went to Jesuit together. Well, mm-hmm. We coincided. We weren't in the same group, but were you 86 or
86?
86. Okay, Mike Murray was one of your classmates. Okay, so we went to Jesuit together. So you went off to A&M and not living a great lifestyle. And so I didn't know this about you. I don't know that I've had this kind of conversation with you. But if you don't mind me digging a little bit deeper into this, what was the catalyst or what happened to start affect some change in your life?
I wish I had more remarkable stories for you, but after I came back from College Station and was working, and I was probably living closest to St. Rita at that time as far as my apartment, and started being pulled over there. I just felt like I needed to go. And then if you fast forward, that's mid-20s, I still remember distinctly that Manage You program. That was, geez, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I had just gotten married. I was 31. I'm sitting in the gym at St. Monica. There's 200 men in there.
I was there. Yeah.
That was the first program in Dallas. Yeah. You know, it started in Houston with Steve, Bowman?
Steve Bowman. I think that's right. Yes.
And I'm listening and looking at the content, and the thoughts in my head are, why is this the first time I'm hearing this stuff?
Yeah.
It would have made a difference.
You know what's funny about that is that I was there at that in that group. I don't know that you and I knew each other yet at that point, but and there was a small group breakout, and there was a guy in my group, and he must have been, I mean, if he wasn't in his 80s, he was in his upper 70s. He was an older gentleman. He probably was deep into his 80s. Mm. And he said the same thing. He, in the small group, he's like, you know what? I'm an old man now. Why did I not hear this when I was in my 20s or 30s? But here you are in your early 30s hearing it for the first time, and you're still a young guy. So did it immediately make an impact in your life?
Short answer is yes. And that's been the journey is I would say, going deeper and deeper. To the point to where I was driving over here and I was going through my examine. Mm-hmm. What are a couple things I'm grateful for? That clears the decks for, you know, God, what are you trying to tell me right now? I'm driving over here to do this interview. What do you need me to do or not do? And, you know the rest of the process on the examine, but that was not me way back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're all a work in progress, aren't we?
Right.
Darren Smith is my guest, founder of the Great Men Program. If you put a .com at the end of that, you can find out more about them. And also the event coming up this month with Jeff Scheffelbein, Fear, Formation, and Fortitude. It's going to be at the Three Nations Brewing in Carrollton, Wednesday, May 21st, from approximately 7 to 8:45 or 9. And we will talk more specifically about that. Also, AuthenticLeadershipFoundation.org. Those are two different groups, but yeah, go ahead.
So thank you for bringing that up. And this was not rehearsed, but I think this can go a great direction. Beginning with my wife and then with my friends and then other people that knew me, you're doing all these things. Why are you doing all these things? You know, you're Great Men, Authentic Leadership Foundation, and so on. And still running a business. And my answer was I didn't know. I just knew I was supposed to be doing them. And it's really just been in the last year, 15 months, that it all became clear. It just wasn't the time for me to know. But what I can tell you is that there's something out there. We're going to throw another name out there, the integratedlife.network. And yes, that is a website. And so the idea with an integrated life, you know, it comes from the root word integritas in Latin, which means whole or full. And most people are attracted to that idea of leading an integrated life, right? And so you're bringing your full self to every vocation, right, that we mentioned earlier. We all have five or six. And that is how you achieve what's called a collective impact. Mm-hmm. People want to leave it all on the field and feel like that their life meant something, mm-hmm. right? And so everything that you're going to hear about today goes towards that idea of achieving an integrated life and maintaining that and making that impact.
Is your ministry focused exclusively on men, or is there any crossover? Is there anything that women would benefit from your leadership, or is it still focused on men?
Yeah, so the answer to that is I would say primarily men, because I'm a man. I see it spreading out. I mean, with the Great Men Program, twice a year now at the beginning of each semester, we call it. We have a spring and a fall season. We invite the ladies to come so they can see what the guys are doing when they say, I'm going to Great Men, and support them. I mean, it's marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But it's a way also to include them.
Now, did you say you're still working a regular job in addition to this? And
absolutely.
So this is not full time. It seems like you're doing a whole lot with these groups, but at the same time, you're also working another job.
Yeah, so we can break it down. So you got this umbrella called the integratedlife.network. And so the network is made up of three organizations. One is SEMA, which is for professional growth. That is what I call it programs. I'm a coach, and the programs are focused on freeing up time, because most executives, they're known for their work. They would like to be known for the other vocations of their life, but unless they make time to do it, I just have not seen it happen very successfully. And so how do we free up time so that you can be as great in your other vocations as you are in your professional vocation of work and making money, building a business, that kind of thing?
And you, by the other areas, you mean being a father, being a husband,
yes,
spending time with the kids,
yes,
that kind of thing. Doing stuff like what Anand's talking about, going out with your family and serving the poor. But men are finding this challenging to find that balance, I guess.
Right. So the two programs from a professional standpoint, getting your work right. If you're a student, it'd be getting your school work right. But getting this whole idea of getting your work right, you got to free up time to do that, right? So how do you get your work right and in turn free up time? There's two options. Either A, if you're an executive, you run better meetings with easy and positive accountability. That way you're doing your job instead of having to chase people. And along that same line, the other thing you can do is practice what's called principled decision making, especially for the folks that are on your team. Executives spend a lot of time either chasing people to do what they're supposed to do or putting their fireman hat on to clean up bad decisions,
mm-hmm,
because we don't have a way that we make decisions around here. But with principled decision making, there is a language, a process, and there's a way of measuring. And you keep people meaningfully accountable for that. And if we get a negative outcome and you made a principled decision, you can show me, then I've got your back. And if you can't show me, then we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so that those are two rifle shots that you can take as an executive to free up time and be great in all of your vocations, not just work and that building that business and making the money.
AuthenticLeadershipFoundation.org is the website. It says on there, the Authentic Leadership Foundation is a personal growth platform focused on youth and young adults with a goal of building stronger leaders at scale. The last time we did an interview, Gabe Moreno was here, the president of Bishop Don, and Karen Quinn, who works with you. And you were going into schools. I know we also want to talk about these forums, the peer group forums, but let's talk about the schools now that a school year is winding down and a new one will begin here in a few months in the fall. How can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, just I would say backing up just a second, you got the integratedlife.network. So an integrated life, it is growth in three areas. So we just talked about professional growth, right, to free up time to make that collective impact. Right now, what we're talking about, we're shifting to the second type of growth that is different. It's called personal growth, and we focus there on decision making, right? And I just kind of referred to it as principled decision making, and that goes into high schools.
Mm.
So we are at Bishop Don; that is our first school. And think about graduating high school, Dave, in 2026 rather than 85, yeah. Right? And how much different it is now. Mm-hmm. And if you had a tried and true way to make decisions that you don't have to second guess yourself, and you're confident, just making 10% better decisions, how much different would our lives have been, especially if you have to operate in the world that they do today?
Mm-hmm. And what advice would you do you give to kids today that maybe we, the mistakes we made, that you can help them to not make so many mistakes? Well, it's a different playing field these days with the technology and the social media, different pressures. But what can you tell us about the young people today?
So there's a couple of thoughts there. One is the schools are doing it. They're doing a good job, right? So it can come across as, you know, us trying to fix something, not really fixing anything. We're there to help the schools execute their mission better. And it has something to do with their schoolwork, their academics, right? Professional life or professional growth as a student. And then you've also got their spiritual growth, right? And that's theology class, for example. The part that we're bringing that helps both of those that I've mentioned is the personal growth piece. If we're making better decisions consistently, then we're looking at our schoolwork differently. Like, I'm never going to use this algebra, Dave. Why do I need to do this? Well, it's a principled decision. You know, you need to do what's in the common good. You need to do what dignifies every stakeholder. That includes your parents that are sacrificing to send you that school, that teacher that is there to teach you. And that, you know, someday you're going to be out there in the not too distant future as a coworker, maybe with a family, you know, in the community. And we need you to be great. Mm-hmm. And part of being great is whether you like math or not, or whether you see the value in it or not, it will help you grow. Hard things, especially sometimes things you don't like, they help you grow. And so that's what I share with them is, you know, what's in it for them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've got one more of the pillars there to talk about or not. I do want to get into the small peer groups of authentic leadership forums. Is it time to talk about that?
Yeah, so absolutely. So that third type of growth, we've talked about professional growth, whether it's getting your work right or your school work right. We've talked about personal growth, which is getting yourself right. And we do that through principled decision making, right? There's a beginning, a middle, and an end to that, right? And then that last growth area is spiritual growth, and which brings us full circle back to how we started the conversation with the Great Men Program. So the Great Men Program is it's again that space. There's no preparation needed. You just show up. If you're so inclined, you have a beer, right? But it's that thinking time. And it's open to everybody. It doesn't cost anything. Now, if you want more accountability and you want more focus, that's where the Authentic Leader Forums come in. It's a peer group. And so what's very interesting about this peer group is it's the only one of its kind. All right. I've done this type of thing for a long time, all the going back to my, you know, first years of working life. And it is the only peer group that practices the practical, I'm talking like with worksheets and measurability, practical integration of faith and work, and make a community impact. And so how all of these organizations fit together that we've talked about, you know, doing a lot of things and now knowing how they all fit together, why, God, tell me why I'm supposed to be doing all this, right? It comes full circle. It's about leading an integrated life, making that collective impact, leaving it all in the field, and we are doing something to professionally grow, personally grow, and spiritually grow. That's how you know you're working towards and sustaining an integrated life. Just put it on your calendar, keep a log of what you're doing. You're going to change from time to time, and that's how you know you're there. And there's a worksheet for that, Dave.
We have all right. Worksheet for that. Oh, very good. Well, that all makes a lot of sense. So those three different areas, and I'm glad it all wrapped up with a reminder about what's going on a couple weeks from Wednesday. It is Wednesday, May 21st, and the event is the Great Men Program with Jeff Scheffelbein, the speaker, Fear Formation and Fortitude. And you can go to thegreatmenprogram.com. And I love how you said it. If you feel so inclined, drink a beer. I'm pretty certain if I was there, I would feel so inclined.
The beer's good.
Yeah, yeah. And so is it, you say it's no charge. Do they need to register or what do people need to do? Just show up or what?
Well, we'd prefer you go to thegreatmenprogram.com and register. That way we know what to expect and can accommodate everybody.
All right. Darren Smith, thank you very much for this. Is there anything else that you want to tell our listeners before we wrap up? Just about at the end. Got about 30 seconds. Anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. So come to a Great Men event. See what you think. We've got people. It was not intended to be a multi-parish event. That's what it's turned into. And then there's other opportunities that you can get involved with that we've talked about here today. And I'm just very grateful to you, Dave, for always being generous to us and helping us get the word out.
All right. TheGreatMenProgram.com. And you can also go to AuthenticLeadershipFoundation.org. My guest has been Darren Smith, and he is the founder of all of these groups. And I appreciate him very much, and also all the great people that you work with as well, including my second favorite, well, not my second favorite, but one of my favorite Northern Irish people, Karen Quinn. I got to put my wife first. I mean, she's my favorite Northern Irish person, but Karen's awesome. He's also got a great band. All right. Thanks to,